We're going to call the Candy Planning Board meeting of January 6, 2021, in session at 7 o'clock. Would you please all rise and join me in pledge allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming either in person or in Zoom. I'm going to do a roll. Rudy here, Mark, not here yet, I think he's going to be here. Brian?
Here.
Scott's not here yet. Judy is excused, I believe. Joyce is not here yet. And Josh is...
I'm here.
And Rob, you're here?
Okay. Yes, I am.
Rob, for the record, I'm going to have Rob be filling in for Judy's position for the evening.
That'd be Joyce.
It's Joyce.
And Joyce is here. Joyce is here.
Here.
Okay.
Scott's coming on.
Is he coming on?
Yeah.
I have to apologize to you. I let you down for the election. Remember I told you it was a shoo-in?
I believed.
Hey, Scott.
Scott, are you here?
I thought of it tonight. I said I could tell her, I apologize.
Trying to connect to audio.
It has only gotten worse.
Going to hell in a handbasket. We'll see, we'll see.
Is it warm where you are, Scott?
He's still on mute.
Is he?
Yeah.
You're on mute, Scott.
Unmute it.
Unmute. There you go.
There, are you here?
They're better?
Can you hear it?
Yes.
Yeah, now I can.
Okay, good. We do have a quorum. So we'll start off with new business. The first item on the agenda tonight is an informational. The applicant is Gary Brown. Did I say that correct, Gary? 8 Monza Road, Nashua, New Hampshire, 03064.
He's on mute.
Okay, I just showed him.
You're on mute.
You get it?
No.
Try again.
I just asked him.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Yes, now we're good.
Now we get it.
Yeah, it's Braun.
Braun.
The German pronunciation.
Okay.
But pretty close. That's what everybody...
Very good. Thank you for correcting me. That's the applicant. The owner is Jeffrey S. Cantor, Revocable Trust, 1015 Meadow Lane, Dunbarton, New Hampshire, 03046. Property location, 250 Raymond Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 409, Lot 113. The intent for informational on a proposed subdivision. Gary, I'll turn this over to you, and you can give us some information on what you're hoping to do.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for letting me come to your meeting tonight, and Happy New Year to everybody.
That's the same.
I'm considering buying 250 Raymond Road. I'm in my due diligence period at the moment. And I do recognize it's in the light industrial zone. I'd like to subdivide the property. I'm not sure whether the tax map is entirely accurate in terms of the frontage it shows. But in any event, in order to do this, I'd like to be able to preserve the existing, there's an existing residence on it, sitting on the single parcel. And I'm wondering if you guys would be amenable to an application to subdivide, let's call it 2 lots. And I cut off a house lot, allow the residents to continue. I would probably plan on rehabbing it at some point and selling it. And then the other lot could be used for light industrial purposes. So I wonder if you guys would consider that. And if you do consider it, you know, what would you see as kind of the parts of the process that I need to go to? What kind of conditions would be imposed to try to carry out that subdivision?
Gary, do you know if there's that is a separate lot now. I'm not sure whether it is or not. The house itself.
It's a single lot as far as I know.
Okay.
I think it's shown on the tax map as 29 acres.
Yeah. Okay. And it's in the commercial zone right now.
It's in the light industrial zone.
I'm sorry, light industrial, yeah.
There's about 695 square feet of frontage, a little bit more.
For the entire thing? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So it was grandfathered in when the ordinance would have been adopted, but
right.
That was on, of course, on the on the parcel that's existing.
Right. It's a very good question, because you're right in that in the light industrial zones, and I believe it's in both of them. Any residential dwelling that existed prior to the effective date and establishment of this district may continue as legal permitted use in the district subject to the requirements of section 202. I think you've hit the question right on top of the head, is that the problem is can the board legally under our regulations create a residential house lot in the light industrial zone? My feeling would be we'd have a problem with that, the way that it currently is written.
There's a house on there now.
There is, but it's not a separate house lot. So it's not an existing house lot. It's you know where the building is.
No, I don't.
Oh, it's the automotive recycling junkyard, if you want to call it.
Oh, that one. Oh.
That property.
On the way into the recycling center?
No, right here,
across from the bank. You know?
Yeah, we'll call it the junkyard for lack of a better word.
Car park.
Cars are in the back.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, we're back like about
one.
2 years ago. We did a major subdivision to do that other lot and
okay.
things on that, two sides actually.
Okay. It's like a little cave house. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's someone living there now. But it's one lot.
Yeah.
So you're saying
right.
If you divide it and it's not zoned.
So at some point that was consolidated.
I don't think it was ever consolidated. I think that
did
it was
Jeff
just
buy
there.
That afterwards?
No. Think it was sitting on that whole property. That used to be, what was the name of the garage that burned back in? Simino's garage.
Yeah, I know.
And I think that house that was on there was actually built first, and then Simino's garage was added in the back.
Oh God, that goes. You're talking about back in where Lang. That
exactly.
Was before Simino.
Exactly. So, I think that's.
I don't
the
know
problem.
Who it was before that, but that was before my time.
Hey, Rudy.
Yes, go ahead.
Rudy, quick question. So, is the concern around subdividing in general, or is the concern around subdividing for residential? And are we sure that the applicant wants to subdivide and use every parcel as residential, or does he want to keep any of it light industrial?
That's a good question. Gary, what's the intent
yes.
of what you want to do for the property?
Yeah, I would. My intention, if I could retain the house and create a new lot for the house, is simply to do the minimum required, which I guess would be 3 acres because it's a residential lot and 200 feet. But the rest of the property would not be residential, no. I understand it would be kept for light industrial use.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem.
But from the standpoint, kind of the way the deal is structured for me, at least presently, to make it go, I really need to retain the house as a residence, fix it up, and probably flip it. So, you know, I could help the town out by increasing the value and the tax base on that house and then dedicate the rest of the land for what I presume the town wants it used for, which is light industrial use. Otherwise, if you wanted to use it for light industrial use and you couldn't subdivide off the lot, a residential lot and continue to treat it as a residence, you have to tear it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one scenario.
Actually, no. If you wanted to keep it exactly the way that it is right now, there wouldn't be a problem. Because the house is existing, and mm-hmm. if you didn't subdivide it and just left it the way that it was, it would continue to be an allowed use on that property. So you wouldn't have to worry about going through, probably, you'd have to go to the ZBA in order to be able to do that.
That's what I figured. I figured that would require a use variance to cut the residential lot on. That's, you know, I'm trying to talk with you folks to see if you agree. And then I could always approach the ZBA if I thought about that. But I had considered just treating it as a straight flip and leaving the house, you know, on its current footprint, but improving it. But of course, that will continue to leave the entire lot as used exclusively for residential purposes while it's zoned for industrial light use, and kind of keeping the house there without subdividing it off prevents that light industrial use, I presume. I'll float this question, but I think I know the answer. And, you know, if I were to leave it as one lot, not subdivide, leave the house there, could I make some light industrial use of the lot with the house existing there? I don't know about that. I'd be happy to hear your comments.
That's a very interesting. That's a very interesting question.
Pardon me?
That's a very interesting question. And again, I'm just trying to think of what we already have set as a precedence in here. And the precedence that we have set is that the property use has been expanded twice, coming before the board in the last 3 years.
This is the property I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Because, as I said before, the main part where the main building is went straight back and has always been a junkyard. And
This isn't the junkyard parcel.
It's the piece next to it.
Which one?
It's the one.
This is down eastward on towards Raymond. Towards Raymond, it's on the left. There's one small house beside it on the same side of the road. That house, and then another house.
You getting a map?
And then,
thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Lisa.
I'm sorry, I don't have a map.
No, Lisa's going to get it. Yeah. That would help us immensely.
Yeah, it would a lot.
So the only thing that exists on the property at present is a 1910 era residence, about 1,300 square feet, and the rest of it's undeveloped. You know where that little landing is?
This is a 49113. Sorry, it's small.
So it's like she's handing out some maps.
Yeah,
you're talking about the little landing where it's kind of been filled in. They've been dumping fill.
That's part of the property, yeah. So the house is west of
this is, she said.
Up back towards town.
So, so it's going. That's Raymond. This is Raymond.
Uh-huh. So which?
This property is down. It's, you know where gardeners used to live there, but it's where they have easy loader trailers.
Oh, yes, property.
It's to the left.
Okay, great. All right.
Sorry it was unclear.
Well, I was thinking the other, because the Cantor Trust owns the property where all of the cars are. And I should have realized when
they
said
that.
Cantor bought that house years ago.
Right.
And then filled in, and there's a row of boulders right beside the road because people were turning.
That's
around.
Correct.
Yes.
That's the
east end of the property.
Okay.
And then the house is kind of in the middle, but a little towards the west end, and there's probably 200 feet more of frontage beyond the house as you travel west.
Right. Okay.
So it's total, other than the house, it's totally undeveloped. I don't think there's ever, I couldn't find any evidence of.
That's the one that has the road that goes down to the back and it's kind of cleared.
The trailer place, and this is just to, if you're facing that, it's to the left. It's east of Jerry Becker's and west of
easy loader trailer.
Right.
Oh, yes, yes, I know what it is.
Jeff Camp bought that.
You gotta be a mountain goat to get down over the edge of that.
It is a bit steep down there. Right. At the west end, it's not as bad, but on the east end, it's steep.
Okay, so that's not affiliated with the Easy Trailer property. No. It's a separate property next to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, yeah. So I'm sorry there was any confusion. You know, again,
but we were all at the junkyard.
Yeah.
690 feet.
That could fail.
95 feet. I think it's less than that.
Yeah, that's true.
But that would have to be determined by a survey ultimately.
Right.
So that's the property, and what you know, I think what's going to end up happening, if I had a guess, is that you could only get two lots out of it, putting aside for a moment the residential use issue. If he gets just two lots out of it, so I would cut the house out, lot out in the west end, and probably a single other lot for light industrial use at the east end, and that would take all of the property other than 3 or 4 acres, I would presume. So that's what I'm thinking about doing, and it really makes it go by being able to have both the lot, which would be dedicated to light industrial use, and then the house and be able to fix it up and flip it.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to accomplish.
Does the frontage then become an issue?
Not for just two lots, sir.
No, he had plenty.
Not for two, because I think it's 200 feet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then 2 acres 200. For the light industrial area.
Right.
So. It's 200?
Correct.
Yeah.
200 per lot,
and
yes.
For the is the residential 200 as well?
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you had, let's say you have 635 feet, you'll easily be able to get two lots out of it. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So there's plenty of frontage. To cut three lots, I don't think there's going to be enough frontage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There would be.
I guess, Rudy, this is where I would need help with the RSA or the statute or whatever it is. It seems like, you know, he's already got a property that he's grandfathered in for. He wants to solidify the lot and the property around that home, keep it exactly like it is, and then keep the rest of the property light industrial. You know, logically, it seems to kind of make sense, but I don't know where it fits in with all the regulations, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the issue, Rob, is that in that zone, it's pretty specific that you can't do residential structures in the light industrial zone. However, it does say if you do have an existing residential dwelling there, you can continue that use.
I guess my thought is we're not creating a residential lot. We're actually going to
create
a light industrial.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And
then we're leaving a light industrial lot that has a grandfathered exception for a residential use.
Correct.
Correct. Correct.
That would be how I would perceive it. Wouldn't you? I mean, logic. Because the house is there, right?
I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with it on its face value and stuff. What I want to make sure is if we did say, yes, we feel that that is an appropriate thing to do, do we have a good solid footing to say that's okay? Because in theory, we're still creating, even if we're creating an industrial lot, we're still creating a residential lot.
No.
Because we're
subdividing a light industrial lot.
But we're creating that residential lot that doesn't exist.
Well,
that's the dilemma. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, but that's where I don't think we're creating a residential lot.
No.
We're leaving it a light industrial lot.
No, we're
the house can exist.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
We're not creating a residential lot. We're just chopping off the house from the rest of it.
Because it's a lot with use, right?
That's a good point. That's a good point. We're not creating because no one's going to build on it.
Right.
Right.
Hmm.
It's just, I think it's from a common sense standpoint, it just makes a lot of sense what he's trying to do. I mean, from a planning standpoint, it makes sense.
Now, wait a minute. Yeah. First thing you said was common sense. The regulations don't always allow us to just use what we would consider to be common sense. We have to make sure that if we say, yeah, this sounds like an okay thing to do, we've got to make sure that we have, like I said before, good, solid.
Well, how do we get clarification on that?
Probably the only thing to do is to just check with town council. But I don't know if we need to, because what you're all saying is kind of making sense, because we're creating a light industrial lot that happens to still have a house on it.
Right.
In a way, we're helping.
Is it
mixed use?
Light industrial lot?
Pardon?
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
It already is a light.
It is a light industrial lot.
Right.
So we're not creating anything.
Right.
So you're going to make two light industrial lots out of one. Right.
With yes. Residents.
And one of them just happens to have a residence on it right now.
One has a grandfathered residence.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It sounds simple. I think we can make it difficult, but I don't think we have to.
No, I would, yeah, because
you can look at it as us cleaning up an issue. If there's a residence on an industrial light currently, then in essence of him subdividing it, we're fixing the grandfathered issue that's been there.
Now, Gary, you're going to have it so that there's two lots in that property or three?
Two.
I think so. I think that, I mean, I have to talk to a surveyor, but I think there's too little to get, because of the way the house is situated on the lot.
Oh, okay.
That lot is going to require more than 200 feet.
Yeah. Oh, it's more towards the center?
Setbacks.
Yeah.
It must be more towards the center of the lot.
Unless I went and got a variance on the frontage. I don't think you can cut three lots, and you know, I kind of took a look at some of the ZBA decisions over the last few years.
That scared you, didn't it?
Understandably, they didn't seem amenable to, you know, cutting it down a lot.
You've done your due diligence.
I've done variances before of a few feet, but not 40 or 50 feet.
I think that's a reasonable request and understanding of it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, my big thing was I just don't want anybody to think that we're creating a residential lot in a light industrial zone, but that lot that you're creating will not be a residential zoned property. It'll be still a light industrial property with an existing house on it.
Which actually adds to the value of that lot, because that at some point could become something other than a residence.
Right.
Yeah, it could be an office.
Correct. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Correct.
For the use of the light industrial use. Correct. Otherwise on the property. So are you folks saying that, you know, to create those two lots and to leave the house on that western lot, that was something that might make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the key point is that you have to say that you're creating two light industrial lots.
Okay.
Right.
With the one being grandfathered.
But
with the condition that the residents could stay there.
Right.
No.
No.
I would stay away from
right.
that.
You
totally.
Don't need to do that, because it's in the zoning regulations that an existing house is allowed.
Okay.
In the
so
regulations.
Okay.
Less is more, Gary.
Yeah.
So in other words, you're just trying to subdivide a light industrial lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that the ZBA needs to pass judgment on it?
No.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
All right.
No, because like I said before, and everybody I think made this clear to me, is that we're not creating a residential lot.
No.
Okay. But I would obviously, I would try to engage a local surveyor and planning person to help me, who is familiar with your processes and with your board, and maybe, you know, I'm hopeful that person could provide some guidance on this.
Yeah.
That's all great, but I guess that I'll ask you this, and at the beginning, I think the chair mentioned That's a good question, Gary. I always worry when I hear those things because it hasn't been figured out yet. So without subdividing the lot, leaving it as the 25 or 29 acres or whatever, and the house on, could, I think somebody said mixed use. I think you have a mixed use zone there.
That's not, but that, that
I'm not sure if this within your purview, but could you effectively make a light industrial use of and a residential use on one lot?
Not in the light industrial zone.
Okay.
That would be okay in the mixed use. And also, it is allowed in the commercial zone.
It is not either?
It is in the commercial zone.
Do you have a mixed district?
Yes.
We do.
Okay.
We're sitting on it.
In town hall. All right. Let me see. Let me just check my notes.
I take that back. Yeah, we're in a mixed zone here.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be allowed in the commercial zone. It's allowed in the mixed zone. I was thinking that we had part of this as a commercial zone.
Zone. Okay. I think that's pretty much it for the time being. Someone had mentioned, do you feel the need to talk to the town attorney about this?
I don't think so. I think that the board can make the interpretation on that because, like I said before, and as was said by board members, you're creating two light industrial lots.
Okay. All right.
And in that area, we do have several lots that have houses on them right now.
Correct.
Yeah, I know. I'm making a pitch here, but to me, it is a win-win if the town can have, you know, that house with some improvements to it, bring the value up, and then convert the rest of the land to strict industrial use. And, you know, it seems like that's the intent of the zoning scheme in that area. So can I answer any other questions?
Anybody else have anything else?
No.
No.
I think you got direction.
So. Yeah, I think, hopefully we gave you some direction on that.
You did. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to meet with me. It's been very helpful.
Great.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're here for.
All right. Happy New Year again. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great evening.
All right, Gary, take care. We'll be looking forward to the application.
All right. You give me a little time, though.
Okay. You got all the time you need.
It'll be February 6th is our next.
It'll be there at 9 a.m.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you all for the input on that. That's why I like this board, is that discussions make it so that we can come up with reasonable solutions to things.
Yeah.
It worked out very, very well. So, thank you all.
Back to Lisa.
The next one under old business is the flood mapping project review. Was Brian going to be on tonight, did he say?
He told me he was going to be, but...
Yeah, he hasn't come on yet, though.
I just feel bad with this.
All right. He sent a copy of the maps to everybody. If you didn't get a copy of it, or you can't print it out, then check with Lisa, because it doesn't look very good when it's on an 8.5 by 11 sheet, but when it's on one of the other sheets, it's a little bit better. What's this? 8.5 by 14?
Yes. And I can even get it up to 11 by 17, but I didn't.
Yeah, 11 by 17 is usually really good. A little bit of history is until we can see if Brian's going to be on, which I think he said he was going to be. Mm. Let me just check to see if he sent any emails since then.
And Mark did have a school board meeting tonight, so he said if he did come, he'd be late. But I'm not sure.
Oh, Brian, who did?
Mark.
Oh, Mark, yes. Yes, that's fine. So, let me see. Yeah, he plans on being online tonight.
say what time?
I'll give him a call if you don't mind.
No.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Where are you, Scott?
You somewhere warm or you at home?
What's that?
You warm? You somewhere warm or at home?
I'm somewhere warm.
No, you...
Oh yeah, I just sent him a text earlier. I said, "Looks warm where you are," but he hasn't responded to me. He's keeping us in the dark.
Yeah, I know. He's all in the shadows.
He's got that Caribbean hairdo, you know. It's all moose stuff.
I'm looking at that. I don't understand why.
Oh, there you go.
How's that?
That's better.
That's better. That's a little lighter.
Yeah, that's much better. I think the light was backlighting. It was backlighting you or something.
I called the cell. He didn't.
Don't you put moose in your hair?
No.
I know, you just got off the beach.
So where are you? Are you in Turks?
I'm in Turks.
All right. Okay.
Turks and Caicos.
Jealous.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Oh, that's
like a place to go.
Yeah.
I must be ignorant because I have no idea where that is.
Oh, man. You're missing out, man.
And the Maldives. I keep getting emails about the Maldives.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think, Josh, all we need to know about Turks and Caicos is that I think Scott has a guest room.
Sign me up.
Yeah, right. But he's got to get the private jet for us first.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be a good thing. We should have the roadshow. We should go do the planning board meeting down there.
Yeah, we can zoom from there. That's all right. All right.
Would you be okay to zoom from there?
Yeah.
That I would do.
Yeah.
It could be like a road trip up to the cottage, Scott, right? You know, a little road trip to the lake.
I just tried to call Brian. He didn't pick up on his cell, so I'm not sure what's going on. But what I wanted him to do tonight, just to give us an update on... where it was, he's pretty much got everything done that we had asked him, from what I can figure out. In the what he would like us to do as a board is to take this map, or these maps, there's I think 10 of them total.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what the result of his work was is that he worked with Dennis on finding those areas. And if you look in here, if you see anything that's in red, those are places that are really expansions of the areas where we get flooding problems. And everything else, as far as I know, has been updated to reflect the FEMA mapping and whatever mapping was available at the time. So it should be something that's quite accurate for us to use, both from a standpoint of when we run into the problems with people wanting to build in floodplain areas. We now can say, just because it's not on the FEMA map doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a flood area. Mm. As you know, we ran into a problem with Patton Hill Road,
mm-hmm.
which apparently there's an issue over there once they built the house.
Down by the Abe Emerson Marsh, that one?
Yeah.
Those three homes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they flood?
Well, they haven't flooded yet, but the first one was set too low after all that.
What did they move the benchmark or something?
I don't know how it happened.
I drove by
and just said, hey, that looks too low. And then Dave looked at it and he goes, yeah, it is too low by 5 inches. And we fought to have that put on the plan, too, so it wouldn't happen. Nothing you can do now. The house is built.
Yeah, the first one, you mean?
The very first one.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm sure you've lived there long enough to drive by and say, boy, that looks like it floods there.
Yeah.
So that's probably the one closest to the marsh, Dennis?
Right, yeah.
First one?
Yeah.
Is that going to create foundation or flooding problems for them because of the water table over there?
At some point it will. Yeah. Because we're talking to the building inspector, he thought it would be 5 inches of water in the garage floor, because that's a garage under, I think, or I'm pretty sure, but it would be 5 inches. It was set 5 inches to blow. Hmm. So.
And so we even at that, it was close to begin with then.
Oh yeah.
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 I mean, like the benchmark should have been higher.
Right. And then the survey company fought to change the FEMA map, remember?
Yeah.
He petitioned to get that changed, and it's like, well, we know it floods higher than what he had it changed to. And so we made it so it had to be put on the plan what right. the known flood level was.
That took another 5 months.
Yeah, it took five months of arguing back and forth to get that put on the plan.
Actually put that on the plan, yeah.
And that is actually reflected on the maps on flood map number 10.
10, yeah.
Yeah.
So that whole section, Dennis, that's red is you're talking about,
yep,
correct?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's exactly where it is, yeah.
And
where's that first house set? Right in the middle of it? Or?
In my tenure, I've seen it flood to that level at least three times. So, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a reasonable...
Hope they have flood insurance.
All right.
That's why I'm glad I live on the hill.
Yeah, you should have no trouble,
Joyce. No, we have
which
no
one is your
problem.
House, Joyce?
Just coming up over the crest of the hill, like as you go down to get to Raymond, it's on the right.
Hoyt's old house.
That's what I was just going to
ask. Oh,
yes,
okay. Hoyt's. Yeah.
Oh, you're high and dry there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
If she floods, we're all in
trouble. That's
yeah,
right.
Right.
That's right.
Even up on the turnpike, I might be in trouble.
So I just tried to call him again, and he didn't answer. But I just wanted to read you an email response that he sent to me as well. We were planning for this meeting. It says, when I asked him about the mapping, he said, I would suggest this. I can forward draft plans before the meeting for the purpose of distributing them to the board to have everyone prepare comments for the next meeting, where we can give a formal presentation, go over future engineering needs to alleviate existing flooding, and answer any questions. If there are no questions, we can issue final plans in PDF and paper copy after the next meeting for the town's use. So I think what he was looking to do, and this was my, maybe I misunderstood what was going on. I thought that this meeting would be that everybody had a chance to take a look at them to see if they had any questions or have any comments, but probably people are just looking at it for the first time tonight. So. I don't know.
But he did say below that one, I plan on being at the meeting via Zoom.
Right.
So he
right.
got caught up with
right. he did.
Yeah.
a project.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess my only question, not being that familiar with this type of work, is if all those areas that Dennis had highlighted with him have been covered, that's probably more crucial than anything.
Well, yeah, well, they are as far as roads go, but as far as subdivisions go, the rest of it's what is important, you know, to make sure that...
Oh, see, do you think that what we could try to do with this is to see if we could get an overlay? I don't know whether it be the tax maps or whatever, so that if you...
That would be ideal, because then when someone comes in with a subdivision proposal,
you could lay it right over and say...
lay it right over and say, hey...
You're in a problem area.
This one, or this one.
Right.
That's the ideal thing, because it simplifies the whole process.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, for the planning board, for the applicant, and everything.
Right.
So they would be, like, those over there?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good.
And then you just
lay
it on there.
Oh, here's Brian. Here he is.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Oh, perfect.
Hold on.
I mean, that's pretty much why you had him highlight those areas anyways. Was
right,
the
and the reason I wanted those areas highlighted and shown was so if we apply for grant money,
yep.
it's on our mapping. These are known areas we have
correct.
Trouble with.
Yeah.
And it may or may not help us get grants, but...
Can't hurt.
Do we have Camp Thomas on here as one of your flood places?
I don't think we do. Because we had already... I don't know. Let's check. And one thing I do need that I was looking at here just now, seeing tonight's first time I've seen these, we need to... the Courier Road one needs to be expanded. He shows it on Podunk,
okay, yeah.
But we need to expand it around the corner to Courier Road.
Okay, well, he's on right now. Brian,
I asked him to unmute.
Yeah, you're on mute.
I apologize.
There you go. Okay. So we can stop saying bad things about you, seeing you actually came on just in the nick of time. For the most part, I know that we were going to try to get these out to people to review before the meeting. It didn't work out as well as we thought it was going to. So we've been kind of taking a look at it, and we've come up with a couple of questions. Dennis has some areas that he believes might need to be added in there. The other question that came up is would we be able to have an overlay map that, you know, basically not a clear overlay map, but something that we could use these maps. So if someone came in with a subdivision, we could take this and do an overlay on the area that they're talking about and say, no, here's what the flood area is going to be like in that subdivision.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
All the maps are on state plane. So that was the intent, is that we'd be able to drop any proposed, as long as we're able to acquire the CAD from the designer, which in my experience has never been an issue in the past, is should be a no issue just dropping it in. Yes, perfect. And then we included the contours as well to give a sense of elevations too, so it wasn't just arbitrary flood areas.
Yeah, I noticed that was good. That was really good.
Yeah, the Camp Thomas one is on there though.
Yeah.
So that Dennis has a couple of them. One of them, well, go ahead, Dennis. Just two, Brian.
One is the North Road, the infamous culverts on North Road. To add that on there. And then the other is up on the Podunk, that the one on Podunk, that whole stream needs to be included to swing it around and under Courier Road, where we had that subdivision proposal and we talked about the box culvert.
Yes.
And those are the only two things I see.
Yeah, because he's showing it on Podunk and it's really on Courier Road.
Oh, bring it all the way around?
It kind of needs to go on both.
Oh, yeah, to connect the two wetland areas.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that. That's the only thing I saw.
And then so our intent or the mindset with this to give the town the most benefit is that the majority of the time in setting up these drawings was the setup of the drawings. So now that they're set up, if there's areas that are observed going forward as a potential flooding area issue, those could be added to the plans. And very easily, and very quickly and easily. So we could potentially just do yearly updates if warranted. I don't necessarily know that they will be, but we have that option now.
Great.
Well, and then, if the town wants to in the future map something else, it'd be pretty easy to take these base plans and map or locate other things on the plans going forward.
Because I think you've actually hit the nail right on the head, that one of the things that we also wanted to look at is those sharp slopes areas. And if all of that stuff is on here, too, because I noticed you do have all of the elevations and contours on here. So, that would be something that we could then take and add on pretty easily, it sounds like.
Right. Because we know the issues that we get out of them.
Yeah. I think that would probably be the next wise thing to do is to update the map to identify the sharp slopes. Not so much that we'd say you can't build on them, but at least if the board can take a look at it, whatever board, now and in the future, looks at it and says, hey, what's that blue marking on the maps? It's like those are areas that you're going to have problems with if you let people build on those and clear cut or something. So,
and then the other thought, what we'd like to do, it wasn't part of our original scope, but we're happy to do it to provide the most benefit to the town for this, is that the areas that we looked at with Dennis are within the right of way and flooding immediately adjacent to the roadway. So we've at each location calculated what the peak storm event flows are for all those locations. So we'll put together a summary of how frequently those areas flood, you know, what potentially if the town is looking for to install drainage in that location, what could alleviate that flooding, and, you know, like a timetable potentially for those, that type of work to alleviate that flooding issues. You know, Dennis, in driving through town with Dennis, you know, it's become evident that a lot of what Dennis has done in the last, you know, 10 plus years has alleviated a lot of the flooding areas. So that's, in a lot of ways, the plans, if we had done these 10 years ago, would probably show 3-4 times the flooding areas that they do now.
Really, yeah. Yeah, you know, and that's good too, because if we know that we have flooding issues in here, they can be included in the long-range planning.
Well, I think some of them are in our capital improvement plan.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, part of what you were talking about with right. The road construction.
Right, Pritchett Road and some of the
others. Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. Great. Anything else that we need to know, Brian? Any other questions from the board, too?
I think that's the gist, essentially, for this draft. I think the idea is for everyone to dig into them in between now and the next meeting. And at the next meeting, I can do a formal walkthrough. I plan on attending, being in attendance, to do a formal walkthrough of the plans and these areas of flooding, those hydraulic analyses. So
great. Yeah, sounds good to me.
But any comments that anyone has or questions, I know it's a lot to process. I'm happy to go into those in detail either before the meeting or and have a final draft ready for everyone or at the next meeting. Either way.
Okay. Like, I think that you've done exactly what we were looking to do, especially if we get that overlay capability.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's going to make it so that some of the issues that come before the board are not going to come before the board again.
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. Any other questions from anybody? Any comments?
Nope. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Brian, thank you very much. And, you know, we'll plan on the next meeting having the presentation. It doesn't sound like anybody's going to have any other comments on there, because Dennis, you might want to look at it again just to make sure. But
yeah, I can give Brian a call.
Okay.
Sure.
Good. Sounds good. Thank you both, Dennis and Brian, for getting this stuff done.
That sounds good. I'll see you in person at the next meeting.
All right, great. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Brian.
All right. The next item on here is the approval of the minutes from December 2nd. That was the one. Let me see here. Oh, yeah, that was Linda Doucette's.
And Severino and Mountain States.
Yeah. And then we did Mountain States. Did we get the notice of decision out? I don't remember signing it.
No.
Okay.
We are in the process.
Yeah, let me know when it is. I'll sign it and get it out. We should get that out pretty soon.
Yep.
Because there was quite a few conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I don't think it's by anything, but. Okay. And then we also did Branch Brook, which we had conditions attached on that too.
Yeah, three of those.
Okay. Anybody have any comments? I didn't have a chance to go detail by detail, but it looks like scanning it over, it looks like everything's covered.
I'm good.
Okay. Entertain a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes as presented.
Second? You were absent.
I'll second.
I can't second because I wasn't here. Okay. Yeah.
Who seconded? Josh or Rob?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Josh.
We have a motion and a second.
Give me credit, Josh. Take that one.
Rudy, yes?
You'll have the next.
You give me the next one? All right, thanks.
Mark is not here. Brian?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Let me see. Joyce was
abstain.
Abstain. Josh?
Yes.
And Rob?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Motion passes. And let's see. We did that. Other business? Any other matter to come before the board? Anybody have anything they want to bring up tonight?
Nope.
I just have a couple of things that I noticed. There's been surveying work done on New Boston Road, and that's the, if you remember, I don't know if we discussed it at the meeting or not, but there was someone who came in looking to see if they could possibly do the elderly housing project on New Boston Road, and that's the property that seems to be surveyed, so we might be seeing something coming of that. Haven't heard anything on Crowley Road at all.
No.
We received nothing. And let's see, there was one other thing.
I believe the reclamation down the street there too is going to ZBA. Is that correct?
It is. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we sent them to go to. So.
Yeah, for the excavation.
Correct.
Barrier. Right. Yeah. And we will not have to deal with that one.
Well, we will if we probably will after the ZBA says yay or nay.
Because they have to get a gravel excavation.
Yeah, because we can't give them permission in a residential area to do excavation work. But if they get the ZBA to okay it, then we need to look at the plan to make sure it's approved.
And
then it has to go to the Board of Selectmen, I believe.
If they go before the ZBA and they approve it, they just come before the planning board for a site.
Okay.
But there's been residents calling into the office about it already.
Okay.
They're not heavy.
So I'm sure there'll be plenty of public input at that ZBA meeting.
I let people know when they call in.
That's a hot ticket for the last 35 years.
Right, it has been. It has been. Yeah. Let's see, and I don't think I noticed no one else has mentioned anything.
Rudy, I had a quick question. I think I missed you. Yeah. You mentioned something there about Crowley Woods. We have not seen anything from them, right?
Not since the Rob Jones summary sheet that was submitted to all of the planning board members. That's the last.
Okay.
That's the last information we've had from them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just surprised. They seemed very adamant that they were going to move forward, and you know, there was an expectation they were trying to set. I don't know if they were trying to get the folks in Chester to make some kind of a decision that night and give them some support. But yeah, they made it sound like they were coming to us the following week and we're going to put all kinds of stuff in front of us.
Yeah. Huh. Well,
they didn't.
Well, they didn't.
They're real busy right now, too, you know.
Yeah, it's after
the
holidays, maybe
they'll... All the engineers are very busy right now.
Yeah, yep.
I did have a question on that New Boston Road thing. Was that the direction we gave them that was it was going to require a waiver or something?
Yeah.
Because we could not approve that wasn't on an arterial street, correct?
Correct. Now... The issue with that is if
do we have that authority?
That's what I was just about to say. Yes.
We do?
Yes.
Okay. I was trying to remember, and I thought that's how we left it. That.
Right. In section under section 504, conditional use permit, and section 10, waivers, compliance with the individual provisions of this ordinance shall constitute the conditions required for the issuance of a conditional use permit. Any provision of this ordinance may be waived when upon the application by the applicant to the planning board. The board shall determine in its sole discretion that one, that requiring compliance with the particular provisions of the granting of a conditional use permit would create an unreasonable hardship, and two, that the application would be consistent with the spirit and intent of this ordinance. Request for waivers must be written, and the planning board must vote on each waiver request at a properly noticed public hearing.
Okay.
So it would be very similar to what the ZBA does. But instead of there having five criteria, right, we've got two criteria that it has to create an unreasonable hardship, and that it would still be consistent with the spirit and intent of the ordinance. So they can request it. That's the only thing in the entire zoning ordinance that takes the ZBA out of it and puts the planning board in it. I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah, that must have snuck in there somehow. That didn't sound like it didn't sound like governmental work. Didn't sound like enough layers.
And obviously we'd have to have a public hearing on it.
Correct.
And, all that other stuff before we could do anything like that. But it would have to meet those two criteria.
Her brain's cooking over there. She's got something she needs to say.
Because elderly housing is under innovative land use, which is under planning board only.
Right. Right.
You've been studying.
She has. So.
You're getting way too smart.
Can somebody put that in my review that I'm waiting for?
I don't do them.
So it's mine this year. I don't even know. Who's doing mine?
Can't do yours.
Who's doing it?
Your buddy.
I don't
think. Actually, Kevin, I think, is your direct supervisor.
He is, but how's he going to do it when he's only been here a couple months?
Are you due?
Yeah, it's sitting on his desk with my name on it.
Really? When was it due?
December 31st.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, still not as late as some of the others are.
No. Right. It's only January 6th.
Yeah. All right. The other thing is that the next meeting will probably wind up having a ZRRC meeting, so we can determine what we want to do next. Hopefully we'll get our money so we can keep doing some stuff. But even with that, we still have some things that we need to review in the regulations. Probably the biggest one is going to be the, I'll call it the clear cutting regulation, so that we avoid the New Boston Road
nightmare.
We're just going to have to be careful because we don't want to tie people's hands, but yet we want to protect. Right. So that doesn't happen again. So
right.
Yeah.
You just have to tread
it
carefully.
It just needs to be tied to the steep slope.
Correct.
And
yeah.
Certain criteria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what we can put in there is that the board can require that we do have an application or an approval from the state to clear the land. The problem is going to be, though, is we came up with this discussion, I don't know, probably 5 years ago when... Carlton was on the board about, you can do whatever you want on your land. You know, you can clear cut your land to a certain extent, obviously.
Right.
If it's your own land. So then you get into the situation like, well, if someone buys the property, they own the land, then they clear cut it, and then they sell it for a house lot. Well, then it was at a roundabout way of getting around anything that we put in there to saying, like, you can't.
I see what you're saying.
Clear it before you sell it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of thought would have to go into that exercise.
Yeah. Nothing.
By a developer, I mean.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, we know how that works.
Yeah, we know how it works. Yeah.
So anything that wants to come up on that for the ZRRC meeting, we'll start looking at that.
Yeah, that's the reason I brought that up, because I'm of the same mindset that, you know, if it's your land, you ought to be able to manage it the way you want to.
Right.
But
right.
In this particular case, it created issues that impacted other people.
Sure. Yeah. So, and this, the mapping actually that Brian did for us with this overlay, too, with all the wetlands in there, too, we've identified areas that people have to be concerned with when they come in for a subdivision, because you can only clear so much when you get close to a wetlands too. So.
Most people, I don't think, would have clear cut that.
No, they want a nice tree lot.
If they had any gray matter at all.
So, okay. And our next meeting is January 20th. Okay. Now I was going to tell Mark that he has to be the chair for the February meeting and the first one, because I won't be here. So that should be probably the
going somewhere fun.
No, we're gonna help.
Oh my god!
My daughter-in-law and son.
Oh, move.
Well, no, not yet.
No.
With
a baby?
Nope.
No.
Just they're going crazy.
Are they?
Yeah. you know, it's just one of those things, like everybody else is like, they just need a little bit of help.
Yeah.
So.
What's the date on the February meeting?
February 3rd.
3rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have any new quick cases for that. The deadline was this past weekend.
Okay.
So.
So Crawley Woods will probably come in, and then Mark can handle that one on
February. Oh, my God.
It's too late, though, so will we have a meeting?
Yeah, it is. It is.
We could, depending on what Mark wants to do or the board wants to do. We can. We only have to have one a month, so yeah. That's up to you guys. We're only required by RSA.
Okay. So if we have no cases, we could cancel, and that's why we canceled in December, right?
Well, in theory, on those meetings that we don't have cases, we're supposed to do planning.
Oh, but we don't have any money, so.
Well,
how can we plan?
We're not supposed to plan. We're supposed to spend money for planning. We're supposed to do the planning ourselves.
Oh, I see.
We're supposed to plan on not spending any money.
There you go. There you go. Right. But if you're not here.
Don't.
I don't know.
I'm with you.
All right. So anybody else have anything? And seeing the Joyce.
Brian, do you?
Oh, go ahead.
Brian, do you have any thoughts on? I guess there was an article about the crabapple tree today.
Not a planning board issue.
Yeah, let's adjourn.
I honestly couldn't comment in this environment. It wouldn't be pretty.
Plus, it's an open case, isn't it?
Well, no, it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be done, Josh.
Yeah, that's what it said, and what I read said it was done.
It was supposed to be done.
But anyway, it's not a planning board issue.
Let's motion to it. Shall I say it?
Well, we will wait.
Absolutely.
I'd like to motion to adjourn this meeting, please.
Do we have a second?
Second. I will second that. Thank you, Josh.
All right.
Awesome. The Patton Hill Road contingent. Right.
That's right.
Rudy, yes. Brian?
Yes.
Scott?
Yeah.
Joyce?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes.
And Rob?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Don't.